starts to lean in that direction, but somehow trumps it, somehow complicates it, I'm inclined to say, let's not address this at a city level if we have something at the state level that allows us to accomplish the same thing.
This is the government code, too. This is all taken from the government code.
Right. Anytime you introduce something in part that overlaps something else, you muddy the waters. And that's my concern.
I think the water is pretty muddy now.
I think the Texas code allows us to be able to do this, to recoup this cost that the city has put out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do that. All we're doing is basically stating what options we have as a city to recoup our costs. I don't think we're duplicating or we're reinventing the wheel. All we're doing is making a resolution that allows us to do that that wasn't previously on our codes.
And if we wanted to take out the prompted humorous request,
yeah,
some verbiage that, you know, because we are all of us are entitled to that. I think the verbiage, a few words, but as long as, and like Steve did make a good point, you have to be careful. You want to make sure that it is verbatim,
right,
while we're looking at apples to apples. And this has been gone down. I mean, this is apples to apples. There is no deviation in verbiage wording.
I do have a concern that it could end up costing the city more money the way that this is written, because it's saying after 36 hours that essentially an invoice is going to have to be produced letting someone know, hey, you're about to go over. We can't bill for that time and money power, manpower, to send that person that invoice. I'm afraid that could be even more costly because we can't recoup that expense. That's non-recoupable. You can't do that. Just like the attorneys, you can't recoup that. You can't bill somebody because it needs to go to an attorney. I would maybe just like to see a cost-benefit analysis done based on what David Stahl put out in his February 6th memo, citing the $2,000 and a little over 500 pages, and to see where that $2,000 came from, and if we actually went by what is available to us by the government, where would that leave us? And then if we were to implement this at the 36 hours, where essentially you're going to be sending someone an invoice, it's going to have to be an accounting invoice, where's that going to leave
us? No, ma'am, that's not... You give them an estimate beforehand.
Yeah,
before. And they have to put a deposit down and decide whether they want all the information they're
asking. But you get 36 hours free. So what's to say that I'm not going to ask for 36 hours and then get my husband to ask for 36 hours and then get my 19-year-old son Tommy to ask for 36 hours and then my 19-year-old son Harrison to ask for 36 hours and then my 14-year-old son Chance to ask for 36 hours and then, you know.
I presume they refer to that as a loophole.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
None of that's,
I mean,
preventable now. You can do that now.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like we could run the risk of having more costs.
And just for the record, an invoice is prepared for every open record request. That is on paper or is redacted, and we, you know, routinely charge 10 cents or 20 cents for copies. And anything that's over $40, an itemized estimate is sent in advance today. So there is no new thing there, except for it would allow us to recover the actual costs once you go over 36 hours, which is really an extraordinary amount of time.
Doesn't the Attorney General also say that you cannot exceed what they say by 25%? Is that just for the first 36 hours, or is that all over? Because I know that fees, city can have its own charge, but it cannot exceed those set by the Attorney General's office by 25%.
Right, that's correct. We go by the guideline. There is a specific rule that authorizes the city to adopt this particular provision. When you go over 36 hours, it's actual personnel time. It does not include legal time. It does include a lot of other charges, fees, costs, but it does allow us to recover our actual personnel time over the 36 hours.
Okay.
anything over the 36.
Actual time at $18 an hour.
Right. Well, 15 plus.
15 plus 20
not to exceed 20%.
That's the maximum under the 36 hours. Once you go over the 36 hours, then we get to get the actual hours.
It is true. I'm ready to go to the bar. I'm not going to argue with you, Ron.
There's no points on my 36
hours. Right. Let's keep the discussion amongst council for the time being until we open it up for public comment. Are there any other comments or questions?
I will say that to prevent a divisive atmosphere with this, if we strike the clause that says by certain requesters who have arguably abused the process, if we strike that one line and leave everything else as is, I think there's no reason why the city can't try to recoup some of the costs of these requests. It's we're allowed to by state law, and there's no reason why we shouldn't.
Are you speaking of whereas the city of Shore Acres? What I've got marked.
Yes, whereas the city of Shore Acres has received multiple voluminous requests for open records by certain, and I said strike by certain requesters through abuse the process, and we can eliminate that.
Yeah,
and eliminate curb such abuses.
Okay.
Other than that, I see nothing wrong with the way this document is written. We're laying out a guideline that everyone has to follow. And as Bo mentioned, the screams and cries for us to balance the budget, this is one way to help us do that by being able to recoup. We're not going to recoup all the costs. We're still going to lose money on this, but at least we can recoup some of our costs on this.
Are there any other comments from council at this time? Are there any comments from citizens at this time? We'll start on the right side of the room and work our way to the left. Yes, ma'am.
Actually, this is a very common occurrence in school districts. The school districts have to deal with this situation all the time in regards to massive amounts of requests for open records for various things. And it can be extremely expensive and take up a lot of the personnel time, but the Texas Code has it spelled out what you can do, and it's the 36 hours. And I think that it is reasonable to have people pay for massive amounts of open record requests when it exceeds the 36 hours. It's not a big deal to keep track of the 36 hours. You log it in, you set up a process. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
If the process is already in place by the Texas
government code,
I humbly request that council not add additional things and additional resolutions. Just refer to that code and go from there and not muddy the waters, as Alderman Jones said. Keep it simple. We were supposed to go back to basics.
Can I address that?
Transparency. Wait just a minute. It's my turn, Mike. Okay? Transparency. Keep it more simple. All this record keeping. I don't think the whole city needs to have an ordinance, maybe because you've had one or two instances of some people abusing it. And I would rather err on the side of a few citizens abusing it than trying to tighten down and have more regulations and rules. We need to be back to basics. Very simple. And I ask council, please do not pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, Mike, you wanted to address?
The point that was made states that these are codes that are in the state, state code, state Texas government code. It says that cities may do all these things. The city of Short Acres has no process in place. If we do this for one person and someone else doesn't get done, then somebody's going to say, well, you're not applying it fairly across the board. All this is doing is saying we are going to adopt a resolution that says this is what the city is going to do. And we've given that right by the Texas government code. These are the parameters that we can follow. These are the guidelines that we will use, and we will, in effect, implement these. The government doesn't say you have to. It says you may.
I think you should keep it simple. I don't think we need this ordinance.
And if we apply it to one person
resolution
and not someone else, we're going to be accused of being unfair.
Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, ma'am.
This is a bunch of crock. To put it mildly, we didn't have these muddy waters till our government here in Short Acres became non-transparent. I was lied to on a request for a police report that I had no idea went to the attorney and then went submitted to the attorney general for a police report. Now, how much did that cost the city? I would have taken that request back, knowing that it was going to cost the city that money. The muddy waters was created by the city government because there's no transparency. This is retaliation for people who ask for public information. And it's not funny.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ron Hoskins, 418 Seagrove. I am inherently not, I don't object to 552, I believe it's 275, which is what this code is about. In that code, it specifically states that the prices and the charges shall be in accordance with 552-262, which is the Attorney General fees. You may not charge, you may only charge in accordance with the Attorney General fees, unless you get an exception from the Attorney General. That's specific to that code. So if you've got somebody that you're paying $40 an hour for, you're still limited to the $18 an hour. Period. It's written in the code.
Where'd the $40 an hour come from, Ron?
I made that number up. The $18 an hour is the maximum that you can charge.
$15 an hour plus the 20%.
20%. That's exactly correct.
That's by the Attorney General.
Right. And so when you take a look at this $36,000, if somebody goes in there and requests a document that happens to be 51 pages, you can charge them $5.10 plus postage, and if it takes you 3 hours, 18 times 3 is 50. You can charge them that money because you can charge, if it's over 50 pages, you may charge those hours as well. That hasn't been done. And all the city really needs to do is just go ahead and follow the code as it's written. However, since it's over $40, you have to first provide a written estimate. And I think what's happening here, too, is that the city's relying on that February 6th memo, which is very inaccurate in terms of, I believe it's stated if it's over $40, we can require a prepayment. The law really says that if you've got a number of employees which is less than 16, then it's $50 or more. There's a lot of inaccuracies in that memo, and that's what you're relying on. What I don't see is if you just stick with it the way it is, and you actually bill and do things properly and do proper time estimates and do it in the spirit of the law, you're going to be fine. Yesterday I took the Public Information Act course. And let me tell you, and now I'm certified, by the way. I'm guessing most of you are not.
Yes, I am.
You taking the Public Information Act, not the Open Records Meeting Act.
No, the Public Information Act.
It very clearly says that, you know, open government is a good thing, and that's what's to be encouraged. And I'm actually getting another point that you've already agreed to take out, I believe, and that is that one paragraph, I find that to be highly inflammatory, and it's an invitation for Attorney General complaints, which is going to wind up costing the city more. I believe that what City Council really ought to do is just, you know, maybe postpone this till the next meeting and let things cool down. I don't disagree with implementing this, but a cost-benefit analysis and really take a look at how much you think you're going to get over and above isn't going to be as much as you think it is, because you cannot charge attorney fees. Nothing you can charge. The only time you're going to make money is if it's under 50 pages, once somebody gets 36 hours. That's it. You know, I think this is, I'm okay with doing it, but you're not gaining anything. This is not going to be a significant cost decrease. If you're trying to fix a problem, or what you perceive to be a problem, it's kind of like prescribing amoxicillin for a virus. It won't work. That's my comment on it.
Thanks, Sheriff. Are there any other comments at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Ron. Darlene actually took the words out of my mouth, which were, it's just not right. The way that it's being handled, the timing is not right. Everything that we need is already done by the Attorney General. It's all there. And when I've done my Freedom of Information Act request, I expected to have to pay something, and I haven't yet. But I can tell you that I have gotten the runaround trying to get information like a building permit on who's going to set the time that I can view the records. Does the city set the time that I can view the records, or do I tell them when I can be there? Very confusing. And again, I will say again, it's not across the board. And when Darlene said that it was, it seemed to be vindictive, I would agree. And I have a problem with that. And I would not pass this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, I'll step up here.
Yes.
My bladder is out.
Need a moment or two. I'm sure we can take a brief pause.
David Jennings, in the 1017 West Forest Avenue. I rarely use notes, but I actually made notes tonight. First off, I hear that Alderman Bunker, you had some health problems. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're
here. It's good to be here.
It's good to be here. Good. Because I'm going to attack you now.
Go. Stand
in line.
Since Alderman Bunker is the one bringing this, we'll address most of this to him. But it's a good counsel in general. And Alderman Bunker, I don't know what your motivations for doing this are. I really don't. I learned a long time ago not to ascribe motivations to people because I can't get in their head. I know when I read that language, it was obviously, in my mind, vindictive. I don't know. I assume you're doing it for the betterment of the city, as we all are. What I can tell you is how it feels as a citizen. And it feels as though you're trying to intimidate those of us that are, we also care about the city. And perhaps you think it's frivolous to find out why our city administrator, who only works 4 days a week anyway, why he is going on Facebook, checking on, seeing what citizens are doing, and then reporting to you what they're doing. Perhaps you think it's frivolous. I don't. Perhaps you think it's frivolous for me to try and find out why and how the city made such a terrible decision in hiring Mike Massey as the interim chief. I don't. The city doesn't face a financial crisis. And I've heard you guys mention balancing the budget and all that. The city doesn't face a financial crisis because some citizens are pursuing open government. Come on, guys. That's just ridiculous. What the city, any crisis stems from the fact that you guys and the city administrator are not being open and transparent. It's not us. I have filed a few information requests. I have. And I've paid for a couple of those because that's just the way they turned out. And you know, in response to one of those requests, my first request, I got a response back that said there was no response. The city didn't have information. I asked the city administrator, please, you know, try again, search again. instead of, and I file these all over, so the many government agencies, instead of treating that as a single request, you open up a new request, send it to the city attorney. I got a city attorney letter, you know, after 10 days saying he didn't have time to get to it just now, and it was supposed to be certified, never has. I get those all the time. I've never received a single certified letter, so if you're paying for that, you shouldn't be. And in response to that second request, I got 67 different documents, and it gave me an insight into how you guys did that, why, and the mindset and the stress you were under to do that at the time. So I understood better. Open government is not bad, and it's not your enemy. I know that several of you are sitting on council tonight. You had "Don't Tread on Me" flags. You had the "Come and Take It" flags when you were running. And the atmosphere when you ran for council was worse than it is today. And you ran that council out of town. Now you're up there trying to run the citizens out of town, is what it feels like. So I can't, again, I don't know what's in your head. These are not wasted. They're not frivolous. You know, as a matter of fact, if you pass this bill and continue to intimidate citizens, and you're doing exactly the opposite of what you just said, Alderman Bucker, when you wanted to tamper the dissension between you guys and the community down. That's what you said earlier. And if you pass this bill, you're only ratcheting it up. As Alderman Snell said earlier, I can get, you know, 15 different people to start following if I want to. That's not the goal here. The goal here is just to go to a Shore Acres. That is a city, a small community, small town. We all get along. When you ran for council, every single one of you ran because you wanted to help this city. And I believe you did, and I believe you're doing that now. But so are the citizens. I'm not filing information requests to make you angry, to cost the city anything. And so now I'm repeating myself, so I'll try not to do that. There's plenty of state law. There's plenty of law. Some of this code that you actually put in the thing is a bit dated and old as far as the way we communicate nowadays. And so that would have to be updated at some point. I'll just close with this. The best thing for council to do is to try and restore that community feeling and stop adding to the animosity between the citizens and you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from citizens at this time?
Yes, sir.
I'm uncertain exactly who the author is.
I requested it, and the lawyer drew it up.
I believe the answer would be the general counsel of the city.
What I mentioned to him, to think of the worst things, the kind of,
we'll certainly take that into consideration.
There's always a nice way to
put it. Thanks, sir. Yes, sir.
Jerry Pickers from 346 Miramar. First of all, I regard this as very vindictive. It doesn't matter what you do now. You remove a few words. You set the tone, how you feel towards the citizens. Well, I just want to address the root cause. What I think is the root cause is the failure of some open government. And if a citizen comes to you, and I'll imagine the last 2 weeks I sent 2 emails to the city administrator, you and one of the council members. I didn't get any reply, anything. Now, what's my avenue? File a Freedom of Information Act request to get the information. Isn't that critical to me? But that's the avenue you left me. I don't have any other source. But I go to you, administrator, or whoever, and plead for it. It was a simple email. 2 of them. Neither one was answered. No response whatsoever. So, where is your root cause? It's really the way things are being run. And if you're more open with information, you probably won't need FOIA requests. And then the other thing I always look at, I think what's happening here, a FOIA request comes in, is how are we going to get out of this? Instead of just laying it out and giving you the information, what's the best way to keep from giving that information to us. So contact attorneys and whoever else. Now, if you don't agree with it, but some people are going through that. I'm not saying everyone, but some individual citizens have gone through that big cycle and going to the attorney for decision and the attorney for whoever. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other comments at this time? Does council wish to take action at this time?
Make a motion that we strike the phrase that I had mentioned earlier and pass this resolution.
The motion has been made by Alderman we have a motion by Alderman Wheeler to approve resolution 2014-129 striking after let me finish the motion. Striking the phrase by certain requesters who have already abused the process from the resolution. Is there a second?
I'd like to make a comment before, but I would be going to say something.
We have a motion. We'll wait for a second. If we get a second, then we'll have discussion.
Mayor, I have a point of order that
yes, ma'am.
A motion cannot be amended unless the original motion is on the table and it has not been put there.
The motion that is currently on the table is to approve the resolution striking the phrase by certain questions who have arguably abused the process. That's the motion, I believe, as stated. Is that correct, Alderman Wheeler? We have a motion. Is there a second?
And I wanted to make a comment, but this needs to happen first.
Yes. If there's no second, there's no point in discussing. Then the motion does not carry.
Okay, but so what happens to this? Because that's what I wanted to make a comment about.
We apply on the next agenda. If you want to do that, then we can discuss it between now and then.
Okay.
But only two aldermen at a time because of Toma. Which I think it needs to be discussed a lot more.
So we currently have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Yeah, I don't wish to second it right now. I don't wish anyone else to because I'd like to make a comment.
Without a second, the motion does not carry. Alderman Bunker, you wish to make a comment?
Yeah. Because I listen, I will. I'd like to look at this again. Tell me some of the offensive verbiage. Talk to a few people. After that, I'll bring this back. So I'd like to place it back on the agenda, but I can do that after I talk to you. Because I did listen, and I heard you.
If there is no action on the agenda item, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, item 8.5. Review and possible action to increase the rate of pay available for the position of public works director. Nancy?
As council knows, and I know most citizens know now, we will be visiting our public works director, Dave Sutton. And I would, even though he is not here this evening, to commend him. If any of you have the opportunity to see on PIA, just go up to Bears and read it. He put in one of the most eloquent, thoughtful letters of resignation that I've seen in a long time. He gave us 3 weeks instead of two. And anything and everything we need as far as making this transition work, he made himself available to that, and for that he is to be commended and applauded. Not everybody shows that much class. That being said, and it's not about that, this council, we struggled with this budget. We struggled long and hard with this budget, and one of the things that was continuously stated when it came to we're overpaying folks was we don't want to sit there and take someone's quality of life, they're used to making X amount of dollars and cut them down to here. Well, we have an opportunity now by no doing of our own, but by David Sutton's good fortune to move on to bigger and better places, we have a public works director position that is overpaid. And we have an opportunity to decrease this salary to where it's more reasonable and affordable for our city. And I think that city council should take a look at this and take this as an opportunity to make some cuts in that one position. Now, that being said, I know that Eric Ingram is being trained. He has all of the licensing credentials that Mr. Sutton has. Now, we do have to go through an interviewing process, obviously. But the way I'm looking at this is Mr. Ingram's salary, what we should do, give him a 12% pay raise, because that's fair to become public works director. If he were to do that, but put that as the cap of what we are willing to pay. And by doing that, we would save the city almost $18,000 in one position. Now, that being said, we're going to be in a little bit of a pickle because we do not have people that are as certified as they should be. David Sutton and Mr. Ingram are the only two heavy equipment operated licenses in the city. So when we lose Mr. Sutton and Mr. Ingram, it's going to be the only one. So while we're paying some of these other folks absorbent amounts of money when they can't have to run a backhoe and be licensed, I don't know, but that's for another day. What I put on this agenda was that council sit there, and I was very disappointed that this job position was posted at the existing salary before council was consulted. I don't think that that's right. You know, Galveston's the city manager seemed to take that upon himself, and now he's in the unemployment line, but he's either here nor there. We've got our city administrator right now, as it stands, Mr. Sutton. He was making, sometimes it's easier to talk hourly, sometimes it's better to talk lump sum, but he was making $29.04 an hour, which is pretty hefty, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, he did have his credentials and his certification. But by the time you look at his entire total compensation package, you're looking close to $79,000. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And yes, it's a lot of responsibility and it's a lot of licensing. However, I do believe that that is overshot by about $17,000, $18,000 for a city our size. And every time you sign something, trust me, I hold licenses. Every time I sign something, if something doesn't go right or if I sit there and do something wrong, I'm going to lose my license, too. I understand that. But this is a lot of money for a small city. And so I'm asking council to please look at a reasonable number. I'm talking an hourly number. We know that we are overtime exempt in this position, which was a new phenomenon. But my suggestion would be right at $20 an hour for this. And that could bring him up from $18.39 to $20.60 an hour. And I think that's a fair way. I still think it's too high because I think everybody is way overpaid in the city. And I will be getting something to that effect in writing shortly from certain people. But I would just ask council, since this has been posted, we really need to look at this number. Because if we could get your base pay down to $42,848, plus you've got your benefits, you've got all of the retirement, vacation, longevity pay, certification pay, all of those things, health care insurance, Medicare and SSI, CMRS, unemployment that goes with that, you're still looking at a very healthy living. And this is not crazy Houston or anything. A lot of the work around here is already being done, and this gentleman is already certified. So I would implore council to sit there and look at what he is currently making as a benchmark of to up until this point, what would be reasonable to pay someone else coming in, because we have been overpaying.
Is there any discussion from council at this time?
Yeah, I can't make the numbers come out right that you just talked about. $20 an hour comes out to $41,600.
$20.60 an hour comes out to times 2080 comes out to $42,848.
$20 an hour. So you said 2060?
$18.39 at a 12% pay raise is a $2.21 an hour raise, which brings it to $20.60 times 28 is okay.
$42,848 for an exempt salaried employee.
What do you mean by exempt salary? For a salary employee,
this is an exempt position. He gets no overtime pay.
Correct.
So he's going to come out here and work all hours on call for $42 an hour, or $42,000 a year for $20 an hour?
Sutton was doing it for 61 and he was way overpaid.
In your opinion?
Talk to him.
I'd like to bring it to council's attention that there is an information packet that's been provided that shows a the source of Waters Consulting Group, the municipality job titles and a comparison to cities with populations that are somewhat similar to the city of Shoemaker's, although it looks like they have a bit more growth than we've had, and the comparable ranges that they offer their public works directors.
And if you look at these, all of these are also supplemented by business and industry. Because we're a very unique creature to try to find anything comparable. We really are.
But yet, would you agree that we're still in competition with these very same entities, whether they have a healthy, thriving business tax base or not?
In competition with it paying
Competitive salary wise, competitive for the same types of talent that these same
people would be recruiting. I don't know any of these people and what their credentials are. I don't know how many years of experience they have. I don't know what kind of certifications they hold. Just because you're throwing me a number, that's really, some of these folks could have been in the business for 35, 40 years and hold every certification possible. This isn't really telling me much.
But my question was, is it not, are we not trying to recruit the same type of talent, whether we have a business tax base or not?
We need someone that can do the job, but we need someone we can afford. And, you know, this, let's not hurt our employees or by, you know, maybe not giving them as much or taking a little bit away. But the thing is, the bottom line is we're taking away from our citizens by keeping that mentality because we're deficit spending. And I'm trying to do the little tiny thing here.
Okay, I have a question. You might don't mind giving me a latitude for this one, because of course the question comments is, I'm sorry to go off here. Okay. First off, talking about what you mentioned, exempt employee. When you start talking about exempt employee and you look at the wages, now when I look at those wages, everybody's wanting to cut corners. We want to try to save money. See, there's other ways in the city we can start cutting. We talked about that. We're getting ready to start having a committee, get around and start doing that. I've seen some things where I think can help the city. But when we look at it, when you talk about exempt employee, working in a plant like you do, working in the field that I do, you know, I know that I've seen Mr. Sutton out here in the middle of the day, the middle of the night, when things happen.
Weekends.
When you, and weekends, yes, holidays. When you start looking at, start getting applications in and start evaluating these applications and looking at it, you drop somebody down, you're going to pay for what you get, okay? If you really stop here and look for a minute, you've seen that the water pressure's increased. They've been working on these problems. They're getting it done. Sutton's been in the middle of that. Because we have a second man in charge there that can step into that place, you give them that little bit of cost of living, that's great. But I will tell you, most people, just like Sutton, if they can find a better way, they're going to go on down the road. You'll get a one-year or six-month guy, and then he'll go. You want someone that's going to stay a while. You pay them the quality, but for that quality you're giving them, you're also wanting the fact that you want them here all the time when you have issues. You know, if you're in any type of business and you have employees, and I'm speaking just now for myself, I pay as much and the top dollar to my staff because I want quality. I don't want quantity. I want quality. When one of my nurses takes care of you, I want someone that's going to take care of you right. You don't want just anyone sticking a needle in your arm. That means a lot to me. The city, you're talking about taking... And it's nothing, and Nancy, I'm not trying to demean you in any way. I'm just saying, in my opinion, you're going to take someone who's giving you quality and pumping that lifeline and that water line out there that's taking care of business. Just the other day, you know, here was the evening time. I drove by, stopped, said hi, Sutton, he was out there. They had a line over there on my E-Force problem. It was after hours. you know, it takes a certain breed of person to want to work 24/7. I know, I do it. And it gets old, but this is our business. So, but with that being said, and I'm a little thrown off here, and baby, correct me if I'm wrong. I guess I've lost something somewhere, and to answer Mr. Hoskins' question earlier, I think most of the council up here has taken both those courses you were talking about, so please don't judge us if you don't know, okay? Because I have a problem with that, and I will speak up about that. Thank you. Where I'm going with this is I like to get my point across, so let's get it across, and you can chew me down later. The council is, my understanding, to make resolutions, things of this nature. What it's already written, I believe the hiring process for this position was actually yourself and the mayor to do this process. So for us to cut this pay down to this limit, then we would have to make a resolution first to take the hiring process away from y'all, and we oversee it. Is that correct?
Well, council adopted the employee benefits and pay package as part of the budget.
Right.
And you adopted a budget that set the
parameters?
Yeah. The amount that's allocated for that position is $60,403. When the position became open, I posted it for a range of $51,343 to $60,403.
Right.
And so that is 15% below the amount that was budgeted.
Correct. That's where I'm going. So we're about 15% below that.
In the range.
In the range.
Yes, depending on qualifications. And, of course, my goal would be to hire the absolute best person we can get to do the job.
And right now, Nancy, I'm sorry, what did you say that Eric, is Eric?
Yes, Eric, his hourly right now is $18.39 an hour.
And you were talking 21?
I was talking $20.50,
which is a 12% pay raise. Now, if I was him, yeah, I'd want that jump too, but because he's best qualified would be the question. And then
he's also going to go from a hourly employee with overtime benefits to a salaried employee.
Correct.
That does not get overtime for.
That was my next
15%.
Question. 15%. I'm just trying to make.
You're not going to keep anybody in that spot for that salary.
That's what I'm concerned with.
And it costs us money to do interviews, to hire people, to get them into the system. All that costs money. If we have turnover every year because of low pay for this position, the city is not doing itself any favors. And we are competing with, whether we like it or not, we're still having to compete with the surrounding area for the available people that are out there and the qualifications that we're asking for.
Do we have any numbers from some of the smaller cities, like that adjacent, close, within, say, a 50, 60-mile radius?
No, I haven't looked at, I haven't done a survey of that.
Morgan's Point, they have, I guess, they run off LaPorte, Morgan's Point.
They have their own. But I would, you know, I would point out that David Sutton was paid $60,403 a year, and he left for another job where he made more money.
More money. Yes.
And so that person
should take
couldn't it. Retain for that amount.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from council?
I just want to say that, you know, I think it was a mistake. We trying to save $18,000. Yeah, that's a ton of money. I agree, it's a ton of money. But with everything that's going on right now, the water tank coming on, that is discussed and rehashed every Monday meeting. We've got the new water line main coming in. We've got all kinds of things going around. I don't think we need to try to skimp. That's one of the last guys you want to try to take money from. Anybody that's moving to this position knows what the pay rate should be and is not going to, I don't think we're going to get a list of A candidates offering $20,000 less than the industry average is. I think it's a bad idea and I can't get behind it.
Throw the phone out there and see if Eric bites, and if he doesn't, then you can always, if you don't get enough people applying for it, then you can bump it up. Prove me wrong. But, you know, the council doesn't seem very interested in doing anything about this budget crisis that everybody's forgotten. I mean, seriously, this is just like, here, take advantage of this and work with it. It's an opportunity.
But that's okay.
Are there any other comments from council at this time? Are there any citizens who wish to add input at this time on item 8.5? Yes, ma'am.
We all want quality, but at this point, our little town is very bankrupt. We can't afford the quality.
I'm sorry, you had mentioned that we're almost bankrupt? David, was that verified on the financials that we just heard?
No, sir.
I'm not going to go here or there. I see the writing on the wall. We cannot keep spending money we don't have. We can't print the money for the quality. Yes, we all would like quality, but we can't afford it. We have no businesses. Morgan's Point has the Houston Ship Channel, so they have no problem. We have no business. We have taxpayers that have to hold us.
And as a point of order, we do have one business in this city, the Houston Yacht Club.
Forgive me. That really brings in a lot of money.
I like to refer to them as our favorite business.
Yeah.
but thank you. Do you have anything else to add at this time? Thank you. Does anyone else wish to comment? Yes, sir.
You know, if you do get the some of the lower pay, you could always have pay overtime and have it at a cap of $60,000, whatever. You know, just there's nothing, because if you cap somebody on overtime, they work, you know, 20 hours one week overtime, and that really will kind of think, well, why am I wasting my time here? I'll go somewhere else. So there's got to be some sort of compensation. So the salary thing is you make a certain amount, the average that you should make on the overtime, but you can't expect them to come out for nothing. That's going to be a difficult thing to deal with it, to retain somebody. So. And that is, if the water goes off, if somebody that takes 20 extra minutes to get here to start, because they're pissed off and they're making good money, you know, it's 20 extra minutes that you're out of water. Maybe you're late for work, you know, to take a shower or something.
Thanks, sir.
Difficult call.
Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. As I said during a different commenting period, we at one point did not have a public works director. We had public works people. We had people that worked in public works, and the city administrator was in charge of those people. So we've run like that before. I know we would love to have a public works director, but I don't see the necessity. I think we can have workers that do the work, pay them hourly, and pay them overtime when they need it overtime, and then bring in a professional when we have to have more. Or think about it. Think what Nancy's saying. But I'm going to say, go off topic, and you're probably going to stop me, but I'm sitting here listening to this conversation, and I just started substituting, and I make a little over $10 an hour. And I still go to work. I do it because that's the work I want to do. But do you hear somebody complaining about stuff? No problem. So I agree with Nancy. I think we need to tighten our bootstraps. We need to stay within our means, and this is an opportunity to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
David, what did Eloy make?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know, but he was a public works director. That was his title, and I was hired. I was the first city administrator, so we so the entire time I had a city
He left and went with LaPorte, right?
That's correct.
And making a little bit more money.
And what if
we choose somebody else and Eric quits because he's got all the qualifications and he can't get promoted. He's a good employee. He's got all the qualifications. We hire somebody else. What if he quits? It's just something you need to consider. And the truth of the matter is, in this city, where does the, from a promotion point of view, where does the public works director go? Next stop is his job. Or you could disband the one thing about 1 year and give him a contract for 3 years, and then he wouldn't leave. So you got a lot of options here. Something to think about.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other comments at this time? Yes, sir.
How many applicants do we have now? Do we have any?
We have one.
One applicant. Is it Eric?
Yes.
Eric has credentials and he can run the plan. But the question is, y'all have decided on the pay. You apparently aren't decided on the pay. So, but if how long is this going to be open? This solicitation for
it's supposed to be open until it's filled.
Okay. I don't know. I just think the salary start for a rookie supervisor is a little high. You start them out at the lower level. You start out at 60, I think, the older man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other comments at this time? With none appearing, is council prepared to make any type of action on item 8.5?
I would like to make a motion that we adjust the rate of pay available for the position of public works director to start at $20.50 an hour, showing a base pay of $42,848 annually plus benefits.
Is there a second? Not appearing, the motion does not move forward. The opening, actually, the motion dies. If there are no other actions that council wishes to take on item 8.5, we'll move on to item 8.6. Item 8.6, consideration and action to ratify mayor's nominee for appointment to position for the Planning and Zoning Commission for a term beginning February 25th, 2014 and ending January 21st, 2016. I have received an application to the City of Shore Acres Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments. Actually, I did not receive the application at first. I was approached by Mr. Tuma, Mr. Scott Tuma, at our, I believe it was the National Night Out that we had down at Circle Park some months ago. And he had approached me asking if there were openings on planning and zoning, and as he is a resident here, wanted to see about participation. He is currently a project manager with the city of League City, and having that type of background and that type of experience in our city and willing to participate in a committee where his skill sets would be, I believe, quite valuable, make a lot of sense to move this particular individual forward for nomination to that particular committee. I would implore you to consider Mr. Tuma, as we have some vacancies in that committee that I believe his skill sets will fit nicely into. So I would ask council to consider the approval of that Mr. Scott Tuma to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
There are still other vacancies, right?
There are.
Yeah, I knew that.
As it was stated earlier, I believe there are a number of folks who are sitting in expired terms, but I am most interested in filling the vacancies first before we look at displacing anyone who is still currently willing to serve. I don't remember which is which, but I think there are two vacancies in planning and zoning, and I think there is one vacancy in Board of Adjustments at this time. So I'm looking at putting forward Scott Tuma for consideration, for council consideration to appoint to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Is there a chair for that committee?
Yes, there is.
Right here.
Yeah, I was just going to point out Stan Cross in the chair of that particular committee.
I would just like to refresh council and citizens' memory as to who Scott is. Scott and his wife were here, not quite that good, but they were here at a council meeting about South Country Club where there's a blind curve, and they brought photographs for all of council with the where they had the cone, where you could see and not see the cone. Yeah. So I'm just trying to refresh people's memory of the well-organized presentation that he made, and you can kind of see some of his expertise he utilized here in this
meeting. I believe in association with that presentation was the roadway signs and their
correct
and their visibility and or visibility to emergency response vehicles as well.
Correct.
If memory serves correct.
So I just want to refresh y'all.
Yeah, you've received other applications.
This one made it onto this agenda, and the others are up for consideration. I had asked very recently through my newsletter a call for volunteers to fill these vacant positions, and we're starting to see some traction with that. Not as much as I would hope. However, I believe this gentleman's application had been under consideration for a number of weeks. And then looking at the vacancies, I believe that he is probably one of the most qualified folks that we've seen in a long time who's wanted to volunteer to participate in our city. But yes, I do have a couple of others, we'll call them on deck, I guess. Ready for review and potentially being put forth at a later date. So, does council have any questions at this time? Do citizens have any input at this time?
I've got a question. There's two different. There's planning and zoning. One that determines allowing variances, and the other one does rights. New procedures like garages, is that true?
Yes, you have
you two gentlemen were on there.
You have the planning and zoning, the board of adjustments, and then the other committee, standing committee, I believe, is the parks and recreation.
No, there's two planning and zonings, are there not?
No, it's board of adjustments.
So the one that makes the variances is also the one that would propose a new ordinance?
To council, I believe that is the planning and zoning.
Yeah, because on the garage thing, if I remember, there was a big holdup.
Yeah, that was the planning and zoning.
Okay, so there's actually only one. It's the Board of Adjustment. Planning and Zoning, Board of Adjustment. Is that correct?
They're two separate entities.
Same people on both of them?
Yes.
Some of them overlap.
Exactly the same people.
Okay.
But the responsibilities are somewhat separated.
So is this gentleman being proposed for both of them?
Negative. This gentleman is for the Planning and Zoning Commission only.
They're different chairs.
Well, I guess it's a moot point. I still don't understand what the Planning and Zoning Commission does.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
Planning and zoning.
Let me clarify that.
I'll let David clarify that. He's much more familiar with the responsibilities of each one of those commissions. David,
okay.
Please.
Let's start with the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and Zoning Commission is seven members. Planning and Zoning Commission does comprehensive planning. They are the ones who make reports and recommendations to council as it relates to ordinances that impact zoning and development in the city. They're theoretically doing long-range planning for the city and zoning issues. They elect amongst themselves the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The mayor does all the appointments. He does the nominations, the mayor individually, and council ratifies them. The Planning and Zoning Commission then determines the members that are the Board of Adjustments. But the Board of Adjustments is only five members, and there are two alternates. So there are five that sit on the Board of Adjustments and two that are alternates in the absence of a member. And the mayor and the city administrator are authorized to determine the order in which alternates are used to seat in replacement of the regulars. That five-person board is the one who then elects their own chair, who is Diane Victor, and they then rule on requests for variances. And there are some other duties that are assigned to them by city code that are permissions as opposed to a variance. Variance requires a supermajority.
a permission requires a simple majority. It's rather hard to get a variance. The Planning and Zoning Commission is a commission, and they are independent of council to make recommendations. The Board of Adjustments is quasi-judicial, and it holds a special place there, and that the City Council cannot overrule the Planning and Zoning Commission, or the Board of Adjustments. If they disagree with the Board of Adjustments, they can take them to district court just like a resident could. So they get to make those decisions that they make as variances are quasi-judicial, and they can't be overturned even for error of fact. They can only be overturned for misconduct.
So the Board of Adjustments is the one that has decided up here on Miramar the guy wanted to split the lots on the 100 block of Sure Record Boulevard. It was posted out here. Now the Board of Adjustments is the one that would decide that?
No, that goes under the subdivision ordinance. The Planning and Zoning Commission does subdivisions. So if you want to replat, you get approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission. If you want to remove a tree, or if you want to build too close to a setback or beyond the building line, that's a variance. And that all is divided up as to who's responsible for what.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to absorb it all.
are there any
other questions or input from citizens at this time?
These are all volunteer jobs.
It is. Absolutely. It's volunteer, yes, but the fact that they haven't met for like 2 years is kind of strange. I just don't understand.
That's
that.
The Parks and Recreation. Planning and Zoning, the Board of Adjustments meet all the time.
Their minutes are not recorded on the website yet, or when they've met. The last meeting on the website was like 2 years ago.
Last week.
It hasn't come up then on the website.
Okay.
You're talking about the minutes.
Maybe that's it. The minutes aren't posted.
Those meetings are recorded, and we keep the recordings in lieu of written minutes, which is permissible.
So how do we know when and if they have ever met?
Their meeting dates are on the website. I'm looking at it. It says February 26th. They had a meeting for the 19th, and it was rescheduled.
Right.
So they're meeting this Wednesday.
Right. About the front of Miramar replatting that one lot.
They only met three times last year, February, March, and April.
But the minutes aren't recorded always. So they may meet, but they may not have the minutes on the website, Mayor?
That's correct.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or input at this time? If none appearing, I would be happy to entertain a motion from council.
I'll make a motion to name Scott Tuma to the Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments Commission.
Planning and Zoning.
Planning and Zoning.
You don't want that conversation again.
Evening, thank you for your second. We have a motion that's been seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The motion carries. And with that item being completed, we stand adjourned at 9:11.